It's the Cinemondo podcast. It's your favorite podcast.
Yeah, there's that.
Your favorite podcast.
Yes.
With those two over there and me. Yeah. We saw a movie that we feel very professional because we got to see a pre-screening of this thing. It is a really cool movie that we got an opportunity to see. Let me pass it over to one of you.
Okay. Well, it was a huge honor because we get to see, I love Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And so I like when he comes in doing something against type, like, because he's known for his, you know, comedy mostly, but he has been delving more into more dramatic roles. He brings kind of a cool gravitas to things. I think he's a really underrated actor, and he's kind of starting to get recognition for that. This movie is pure drama, pretty much, very light humor, but he was so good in this. It really makes you go, he's a good actor.
Yes. The film is called Knox Goes Away, and he also directed the film. It was written by Gregory Poirier, who has done a lot of films, and it also has a great cast. James Marsden plays his son. The great Al Pacino is in it. Marcia Gay Harden. I mean, you know, Dennis Dugan, who we all might remember from the TV world, and he was a director also.
Adorable.
So, It's a film noir, and it's an interesting premise for a movie. He plays a hitman. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it kind of struck me as a film noir too. I felt that same way. It had a premise. There's an old movie called DOA that I love. Parts of that are troubling, but it's a great film noir guy who is trying to solve his own murder because he was poisoned and trying to figure it out.
He's talking to his buddy at a diner and he forgets that he orders food. You know, there's some forgetfulness, and his friend sort of looks at him like, hey, you know, are you okay? He goes, I'm fine. But then he goes to the doctor.
I'm fine. But no, you're not fine. And they do it in kind of a cool way because it's through the editing. Like, there's just sort of a kind of cut or a little bit of a jog with the visuals. And then he's there and this time has passed. We don't know how much. And so it was a kind of cool little way to get you inside his head, is to show these weird edits, you know,
And the doctor says, now you have this rare form of dementia where you're just losing your memory and your mind. And so he's dealing with that. Plus, you know, he's a hitman by trade. So that kind of brings some, you know, when you're handling a gun and you're forgetting things, that could be problematic.
It could be problematic. And also, this rare form is like, it's not even like, oh, you have dementia. Too bad. It's sad for you. It's like, literally, he has weeks before that's why it's called Goes Away. Like, he has weeks before he just won't be able to function, really. Right. And so he has some cleanup to do, basically.
Yeah. And the feeling I got from it was that he was struggling to hang on because he had some stuff he needed to take care of. You know, there's a it's not a spoiler because it happens early on in the film, but someone shows up with a huge problem in his life, and suddenly he has to use his brain, his calculate, because he's a hitman. He's always cautious about evidence and, you know, making sure that the crime scene doesn't give him away because he's an excellent, you know, excellent hitman. Yeah. So he's kind of losing his grip on that whole thing. And he's got to be like, okay, did I get everything? Did I remember everything? And then suddenly this problem shows up in his life where he has to help someone close to him overcome something, and he's got to be really clever. And so there's this feeling of with Michael Keaton where he's like suffering, like struggling to keep his thoughts in order and to keep everything lined up. And it's almost, you know, the Christopher Nolan film Memento, it also has little hints of that kind of feeling to it.
And we can mention a little few details because this is in the trailer and it's part of the early setup. I like the idea too of like the person who shows up is his son, but they're estranged.
Right.
Then he doesn't even know that anything's happening with his dad. So when he shows up because he's in trouble because he probably killed someone, finding out, it's like he is like, who are you again? And he's like, funny, dad. Yeah, okay. And so it's like, he's like, dad. I don't have time for this, but he doesn't know. And so I don't think Michael Keaton wants his characters, you know, Knox doesn't want people to know because he's got to kind of finish some things up and do things and doesn't want people doubting his abilities. So he's having to hide this clearly huge problem.
Yeah.
So it has that, like you were saying, this great ticking time, you know, this kind of time frame that he has to work inside, which is like weeks of doing this major stuff, getting advice from Al Pacino, who's this dicey criminal, giving him the worst advice ever. But it's like he's kind of funny. He's mostly in one room. Seems like they shot him pretty. You know,
they shot him. I'm sure they shot him, and they probably shot Marcia Gay
Harden. He's funny though. Probably,
you know, in a few days for sure. But they add something to the movie for sure. You know?
I like that.
I heard the footage of Al Pacino was literally real footage of him, of Al Pacino at home, just the way he normally is.
That is so not true. I hope it's not. But I like that he wasn't really, you know, because Al Pacino is always trying to kind of hang on to a little bit of his machismo, you know, pretty boy looks. Yeah. And I like that he kind of leaned into looking a little weirder. Like he's kind of like this down and out kind of dude. And I like that he was leaning into that because he's really effective when he does that. You know, so
the scene of him in the bathtub. It's he was such a broad, so interesting character. It was
really funny.
He was
and Marsden's good in it too.
Yes.
You know, like because he always plays a super good looking guy, like the, you know, he's like the prince in Disney films and or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was Cyclops, Marvel. The X-Men, and
The X-Men. And
so he's always sort of played this kind of machismo guy, but also with a kind of a twinkle in his eye. Here he's just this really freaked out guy that just is something he shouldn't have done.
Way over his dad.
He's just freaking nervous, and like he's going to his dad saying, you know, you need to help me. I've never asked for anything from you ever. You have to help me. So I thought he did a really good job in sort of like an out of character role for him.
And you're also wondering, like, why are they estranged? Like, besides the fact that, you know, Keaton's clearly like a criminal. It's like, and we find out there's some stuff that's happened between the two of them that's pretty major. And it comes into play later. But there's some great family dynamics, some great like betrayals, you know, how much you can forgive people or not forgive people and who you believe. Like there's a lot of trust issues. And he is even in a worse situation now because he can't remember really who's told him something. So, but he has these feelings like, it's in there when he has clarity, but he's not sure how or why, you know? So it's a great, it keeps you really off balance. It's a really smart, cool way to show, which, in a way, even without dementia, would have been a cool story of this hitman who's trying to kind of basically retire. He's got a strange son. Like, even without the weird, but that kind of adds an extra depth of, like, you know, creepiness of, like, he's got a time frame. He's going to be gone. Like, I kept hoping, like, there'd be a miracle cure at the end or something. Something. We can't cure it. Doesn't have. But it was really.
Go on killing people.
I know. You're rooting for him. You know, you're rooting for this guy. And I like that he's getting older and he's kind of like, you know, oh, I'm just getting older, but he's still got his shit together. Like there's some moments where he has a fight that he's like, boom, he's in it. So I like that too. He surprises you all the time.
He is one of those dark noir type characters, like Mark was saying before.
Super damaged.
That's sort of unredeemable. There's some things that he does in the film that you're like, it can't really have a happy ending because he kills people.
I love that when your alliance is with the character who's the damaged, compromised character, but you're still rooting for the anti-hero, even though you shouldn't be.
It's that anti-hero, and it kind of harkens back to some films. You know, it's film noir, but also has an 80s film noir. If you can think of movies Thief or I'm thinking like that early Michael Mann film. It has that sort of, whether it's the soundtrack has that kind of that, you know, that jazzy saxophone.
Yeah, that was great.
He's driving through LA at night. It just had that vibe of a movie that you would have put in as a VHS back in the 80s and watched it. Yeah. So I think it felt better, which was really good. But but better. and the writer, Gregory Poirier, he's a good, I think it was an interesting script. I think he brought a lot of interesting things into it and made it work.
A lot of
surprises.
A lot of good twists that you weren't expecting, you know, because you see a lot of these films, you kind of, you know, okay, he's got this. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Then, but no, it's not that simple. So I love that they didn't just kind of go the rote, you know, segue out. They really brought in some extra levels of depth, which I really liked.
And some of the secondary characters in here are really great. There's the police, you know, that are trying to solve this these murders. And I love that we know what happened and you sort of see the police reaching their conclusions. And the woman in charge of the case is really an interestingly yeah. realized character in the film. Yeah. And what is the actress
played by played by Susie Nakamura?
Susie Nakamura. Right. Yeah, she and her assistant or her you know partner are. Yeah. Finding these little clues, and you're thinking, you know, it's one of those things like the old TV series Columbo, where where you knew what happened, and you're basically watching Columbo find the things that you noticed early, yeah. you know, and you're thinking, what about this? Yeah.
And the things you didn't notice that seem obvious now, right?
Right,
right, right.
But you're wondering, like, why did he put that in the plastic bag? Why did he keep this? Why did he do this? And as it all comes together, you sort of learn. You get a chance to sort of be a detective along with the detectives, even though you know who done it. You don't know how they figured it out.
Sure.
Which is cool.
Yeah. But I love like the idea. Like he's at an assignment. He's doing a hit. And in the middle of it, he has one of those episodes. And all of a sudden, he kind of like, he looks around and goes, oh, shit, how much time has passed? Where am I? What is happening? Like, he doesn't even know what he did. He doesn't know where, what. I love that idea, that sort of disconnection with reality for a second. And so how scary is that? Just in general, let alone you're doing a hit. You know? But life, what if you're driving your car?
It's a really well done job. You know, Michael Keaton knows how to act, obviously. Oh, he's great in this. He also knows how to direct himself. Not the easiest thing to do. And the film comes out March 15th, so it's coming to theaters. And I think it's, if you want that kind of sort of film noir,
gritty crime,
it's really hits the nail on the head with that kind of stuff. So it's well worth checking out.
Yeah. One thing I want to mention about it is that there's levels of reality that I detect in films and books and things like that, where you read something and you feel like this person doesn't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? Like when and here's the thing, the trick of being an actor is that an actor is a type of person, right? It's a person who wants to be an actor. So what do they know about being a hitman? They sort of have to invent that in their mind or observe or, you know, extrapolate. What would it be like to be someone who can kill people? And there's a thing about actors, a lot of times when they're very well known, they lose touch with the actual reality of the world, you know? And so they don't really tap into realism the way they did when they were still kind of on the streets and, you know, like
on the streets.
You know what I mean?
Actors like on the streets doing hits.
But there's some people who still kind of maintain a connection to the world, you know, they listen and they observe. And you can tell that Michael Keaton, as an actor and as a director, observes actual reality. He's not like doing some sort of pastiche of street life and hitman kind of people. He's actually evidently listening to how people interact and how people do things and how people, because Michael Keaton's pretty well off, you know, he's not
doing all right.
He doesn't often probably find himself in life-threatening danger or in a situation where he's just, you know, murdered someone, you know. So without any of that experience in his actual life, a good actor can sort of bring that. But sometimes they bring it in a way that doesn't ring true. And other times they bring it in a way that does ring true because they're clearly paying attention to reality.
Right. And they have a deep understanding of human nature. And
he can play the everyman. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw The Founder, the story about McDonald's, where he played Ray Kroc. He plays like the everyman, just a small businessman.
Right.
Totally believable, you know?
Yeah.
He's good in everything. So if you're a Michael Keaton, definitely check
out. And he looks good doing it. You know? It's like he's got a cool, you know, gravitas to him. He's got the glasses. I mean, he's getting older in this. I love he plays into the fact he's getting older and bringing the whole dementia thing in. Just there's so much tragedy, so many layers to this, let alone the fact that, you know, he's a hitman. So it's like so much of it is happening. And I love what he brought to it. It's so good.
Yeah.
And you know what I said a while back when we first saw this film and I saw Michael Keaton in this, my first thought was he would be so perfect in the role of Frank Miller's Dark Knight, the comic book, you know, the the comic book version, not the Christopher Nolan films that were based on the comic book. But in the comic book, he was much Batman was much older. You know, he was an older, like scarred up older guy who was, you know, this kind of driven insane by his career kind of guy. And I was looking at Michael Keaton. It's like, wow, maybe it's time to do the black and white, you know,
hardened version.
He's done Batman. He can do it again.
That's what's kind of but I think he's Batman. Like he's the right age now, you know. Maybe maybe in a couple of years he'd be even more the right age.
When you want to, though.
Exactly. I know, yeah, but
He would be cool. Yeah, he's I love that he's going in a more dramatic, you know, way lately, and he's so good at it. And yes, more Michael
Keaton. Oh, he was good in the Spider-Man movie where he played the Vulture. You know, the guy, like a crazy character from a comic book movie.
He's so good.
And he did it in such a way that he was terrifying. He was really great in that.
He's one of those actors when I know he's in it, I'm instantly interested. Right. Like if there's a movie coming out, oh, Mike Keaton's in this? All right, I'll watch this. You just know it's going to be good.
Yeah, and Beetlejuice. Always good.
Yeah.
Of course, the new
Beetlejuice. Yeah, exactly. Beetlejuice, that's right. It's coming up.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That was fun. Knox Goes Away coming March 15th. Check it out.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.